you see, my prayers are answered, right? Because you know how fat I am. I know you know how fat I am because some of you shout out of your cars about how fat I am. The next person calls me fat boy, I'm going to deck them. Anyway, my prayers are answered because one of the very well-respected doctors, Dr. Michael Mosley, no less, is suggesting, I really hope he is suggesting this, that research is showing that having a hot bath or a sauna can actually help us burn off calories. Now, you're all calling me all the chavs of the day when I told you I'd bought a hot tub. Dr. Michael Mosley, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning. Tell me this is true. Tell me I can lie buck naked in my hot tub and lose stones.
Well, you're certainly going to burn more calories than you would if you were sitting on your sofa in front of the telly. Yes, that's the good news. You'll burn the equivalent of going for a sort of gentle stroll.
Many calories?
Around 126 an hour, which, as I said, is the equivalent of going for a gentle stroll. Obviously, you can kind of read a book and lounge around while you're in your hot tub as well. There are added benefits for your heart and also for your blood glucose levels if you're at risk of becoming diabetic or indeed if you are a diabetic. So yeah, there's good news there.
And should you stay in an hour, or you know, does 5 minutes make any difference whatsoever?
I think the minimum they've tested on so far is half an hour, and that showed significant benefit. So I suspect it's one of those things that somewhere between half an hour is probably we're going to get maximum benefit. But anything which kind of raises your core temperature seems to be good because it leads to the release of these things called heat shock proteins. And those are also released when you exercise and other forms of stress. So in a funny way, having a hot bath gives you some of the benefits you would get from doing exercise. And in fact, in a study which we were involved with, I did this for the BBC Two series, Trust Me, I'm a Doctor, and the study we did, which was linked with Loughborough University, we found that the hot bath, an hour in the hot bath, which I did, was more effective at getting your sort of blood sugars down and under control than doing an hour's cycling. So that was a surprise.
And
it was a relatively small
that's
study.
That's incredible, actually.
Quite pleasing from that point of view.
Yeah. And tell me why we believe that to be true insofar as what do we believe is happening in the body?
Well, the Scandinavians have known for some time that having saunas is good for you. And there was a big study out of Finland recently which found that people who had regular saunas were at less risk of heart disease and type 2 diabetes than those who didn't. The guy called Professor Steve Faulkner from Loughborough University who did the study, he thinks that it's a combination. One of the things is that your arteries are expanding, and that means that there's more blood going around your system, which is a good thing. And the other is that it's leading to the release of these things called heat shock proteins. What they did is they got me to have a hot bath. I was in there for about an hour, and they measured the level of these substances. And heat shock proteins are part of your body's sort of protective mechanism. They are released when you get hot. They are released when you exercise. They're also released when you have an infection. They're, as I said, part of your body's way of sort of regulating itself and protecting itself. And so it does seem that having a hot bath leads to their release, and this is a good thing.
My goodness. So does it follow then that for those people that are really interested in exercise and fitness, should they get hot before they exercise?
I think the actual act of exercising makes them hot. So you know when you go for a run, you heat up. And people assume that that was a sort of almost an unwanted side effect. But it seems to be that actually it's not. It's part of the benefit you get from exercising is the fat you get hot. So people obviously warm up before they do exercise. Some people actually do get into a sort of a hottish room before. I mean, they tend to be the more fanatical ones. What this study is suggesting is that part of the benefit you get from exercise may simply be the fact that you are raising your core temperature. And why your body should do that, we don't know, but it seems to be the case. So it's a good case. I used to lie in hot baths all the time when I was young, and then I stopped doing it. I switched to having showers. Maybe I'll switch back to having hot baths.
I was going to ask you, is there any difference, do we feel, between getting a hot shower to make us hot and a hot bath make us hot?
I think that a hot shower, you're unlikely to stay in it quite long enough, and the water tends to run off you, whereas when you're in a hot tub or you're in a hot bath, then you're, you know, totally immersed. You're up to your neck pretty much, and your core temperature is rising. I mean, as part of this study, they were measuring my core temperature using a delightful rectal thermometer, which, as the name implies, is one that, goes up the rectum.
A rectal thermometer?
What was happening to my core temperature, and that went up and stayed up, and that was kind of one of the measures they were interested in.
Yeah, look, we don't know each other, but to give you, we don't know each other, and here we are talking about rectal thermometers, for goodness sake. But something, I'm going to go off on a tangent before you go, because I know that you've been looking at this too. I'm a very fat man. I'm a 21 stone fat man, okay?
Yep.
And I'm 43 years of age. Yep. And what I've been doing over the last 7-8 weeks, I've actually had a wee bit of a wobble over the last 2 weeks. But anyway, to cut a long story short, don't try this at home unless you get your doctor's advice. You've been medically supervised, all that malarkey. But what I've been doing is I have reduced my calorific intake right down to 700 calories a day.
Yep.
Okay? Now, what's really interesting, Michael, is my blood pressure, which was through the roof, has plummeted to optimal levels within weeks.
Yes.
What's interesting is my blood sugar levels, which were not great, have absolutely plummeted within weeks as well.
Yes.
And I get loads of people telling me, you know, a starvation diet isn't good for you. A lot of the numbers that I've seen with me personally, and I emphasise again, do not try any of this at home. Don't do anything without medical supervision. But Michael, I'm looking at these numbers thinking, my goodness, it might be good for you not to eat very much.
Indeed, I've actually just written a book called
I know you have.
The Eight-Week Blood Sugar Diet precisely about this.
Yeah.
And it's primarily aimed at diabetics, but also at pre-diabetics. And to be honest, 700 to 800 calories is very manageable. And yes, you know, people have worried about these things before, that the so-called crash diet is really bad for you, et cetera, et cetera. But actually, the science doesn't suggest that at all. Almost all the studies I've looked at and the experts I've spoken to say that rapid weight loss can be an incredibly effective way to lose weight. Obviously, the important thing is once you've lost the weight, to do other things. You know, in the book I write at some length about this. But actually, no, the science has pointed quite strongly that what you're doing is actually quite sensible. You obviously need to make sure that you're getting the right minerals and nutrients. If you are on medication, then yes, you absolutely should see your doctor. But 700, 800-calorie diets are not crazy. They're really not. And indeed, the evidence is quite strong now. There's a big study being done at Oxford University. There's one out of Melbourne University. And that is, they consistently show that people are more likely to hit their weight loss targets and to keep the weight off long term if they go on a 700, 800-calorie diet than if they try slow and steady. And steady is really, really difficult.
What has surprised me is the speed with which a lot of these
changes occur. Yeah,
yeah, big, you know, big time, because I'm getting some tests done every week as well to measure it. And my goodness, it's really shocked me how quickly it's plummeted. Now, the question is, if you go back to being bad again, do they surge up quickly?
Well, what happens is they will go back. And obviously what you need to do is, once you've, you know, lost the weight, is to have a concerted program. And I would utterly recommend, for example, going on what I describe as a Mediterranean diet, which is much more vegetables, more fat, but things like olive oil rather than the low-fat diet is kind of been tested and has failed. The reason I got into this is because I discovered I was type 2 diabetic. Rather go on medication, I was a bit overweight. And rather than go on medication, I invented something called the 5-2 diet. And
well, we've all heard of that. My goodness.
But more recently, this is based on work out of Newcastle University by Professor Roy Taylor. And he's put a load of people on an 800-calorie diet for 8 weeks. And he found that he was able to reverse type 2 diabetes in around 80 to 90% of patients. By putting them on this, they had to lose 10 to 15% of their body weight. But he said you could see the changes in their blood sugar levels, in their blood pressure, began to occur within a week of starting the diet.
And
that was incredibly motivating.
It leads then to an obvious question.
Mm.
For all of those people who are being told by their doctor, look, you know, diabetes is irreversible.
Yes.
And also, you've got to go on these tablets. You've got to go on them. That's what you do. If you're a diabetic, you go on these tablets to control your blood sugar. You go on insulin, for example, all this kind of stuff. Is that not true?
It appears not to be. No, I mean, what Taylor is saying and what the studies show is certainly that, you know, my wife is a GP here in England, and she has been promoting it to her patients. There was a lot of resistance initially. I mean, curiously enough, in the area where she operates, you get paid to put your patients on medication. You do not get paid to help them lose weight. So
that's interesting.
Actually loses money by encouraging her patients to lose weight rather than to go on medication.
I just wonder, Michael, if this is one of these areas where you've got the power and the might of some of those massive companies which sell the drugs to help control our obesity, and there's a lot of power and a lot of publicity generating machine in those companies, isn't there?
There is, and there's also a lot of you know, resistance from the medical profession in the sense that what they're trained to do. When I was at medical school, I learned nothing about nutrition or exercise. My son is at medical school. He learns nothing. He's not taught. We are taught how to dispense drugs. We are not taught how to help patients lose weight. So understandably, when a patient arrives in front of their doctor, the doctor does not know what to say beyond saying, go on a low-fat diet, you know, do more exercise, eat less. They don't know what else to say because they've never been trained in it.
When you say you were diagnosed diabetic, was that after the 5-2 diet? The 5-2 diet?
It's what led me to do the 5-2 diet. I went to see my GP about something completely different. Had a blood taken, and then she rang me up and said, "I'm really sorry. Your blood sugars are in the diabetic range." I had a repeat test. She said, "Right, let's start your medication." I said, "No, thanks. I'd like to find out if there's an alternative." I basically started researching it, and I discovered that, rapid weight loss was likely to do it. And then I wanted to find out what the best way to do that was, and I came across intermittent fasting, and that led me to the 5-2 diet. I actually made a Horizon documentary about it, which was called Eat Fast, Live Longer, and that was 4.5 years ago. And that's what actually then triggered the whole sort of intermittent fasting phenomenon, if you like. And I wrote a book about 6 months after the Horizon had gone out, but I got tired of people ringing me up and asking me, writing me letters saying, how do I do it? So I wrote a book.
So what I'm slightly confused about is, does the 5-2 diet help? Do you feel it helps diabetics reverse?
I mean,
or is it 7-7 on a low-calorie diet?
What I write about, I'll send you a copy of the book if you want, in the, you know...
I'd really like to see
it. ...is I say, look, there are three approaches. The first and fastest approach is 800 calories for 8 weeks. That's what's been tested in clinical trials, and that has been shown to reverse type 2 diabetes, as I said, in 80% of patients, depending on how long they've been diabetic for. It's also a very good way to prevent yourself becoming diabetic because, you know, pretty well half the UK population have abnormal blood sugar levels, and most of them don't know it.
My goodness.
Because they've not been tested. So there are about 8 to 10% have type 2 diabetes. Another approximately 40% have abnormally high blood sugar levels. And if you're over 50, then you're at much greater risk. So the first approach is 800 calories for 8 weeks, and you'll lose weight really fast. And you will also, you know, return your blood sugar levels to normal really fast, and blood pressure will come down. But if you are, you know, you're on medication, then you obviously should talk to your doctor about it.
Was there anything in your last question? You know, I find all of this intriguing. When you go to that level of calorific intake, does it affect cholesterol? Because cholesterol is a big one for people these days,
absolutely,
too, isn't it?
Cholesterol levels will come down. Although cholesterol is something we bang on about, actually your blood sugar levels are probably more important in terms of your life expectancy and the damage that's being done to your body generally. That just as we are beginning to shift from the idea, if you like, that fat in the diet is the really important thing to, you know, the importance of sugar as a bad thing. So we are shifting from the view that cholesterol is the ultimate villain to realizing that actually your blood sugar levels are probably, indeed, certainly more important in terms of their effect on your health.
But once again, Michael, with someone as well respected and as well known as you saying that, they will be wondering, should they continue to take their high cholesterol tablets? And I guess the answer is, if the doctors diagnose them, then take them.
Yes, and I mean, I put myself on statins because I have a kind of family history. And also because statins appear to do things. It's not entirely clear that statins' main benefit is actually from reducing your cholesterol levels. It appears to do other things as well. So that, for example, we know that people who take statins have a lower risk of all forms of cancer, pretty much. It also appears to reduce your risk of dementia. And it's not entirely clear why, although many people think it's probably because statins are anti-inflammatory and they're reducing inflammation throughout the body, and that's what's having this sort of systemic effect. So if you can tolerate statins, then I'm a male over 55. I have a family history. I put myself on it. I don't actually have particular problems with my cholesterol levels, but I see the other benefits. If I started to develop muscle ache and side effects, then I would stop. I'm not sure this is a very, very responsible way of doing things, but I do talk to my GP about it.
Michael, I admire what you do, sir, because you bring our health concerns and our, I guess, how to sort our bodies out if we choose to do so, to a level that we all understand. So thanks so much for spending time with us today.
How do I follow you? Are you tweeting? Are you writing?
What I've been doing, I've kind of let the cat out of the bag now, but I've been trying to do this secretly up to now because I intend to. I'm trying to make a film around it, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is I've been getting MRI scans and I've been getting tested every week.
Brilliant.
And I'm trying to show, I'm going to be able to show, and by the way, the BBC have not commissioned this. This is me doing this off my own back because I think it's interesting.
Experimentation is brilliant.
And what I'm doing is I'm going to be able to show all, you know, hundreds and hundreds of different biomarkers, how they change in your body if you go down to those 700-800 calories a day. And I think I'm a good subject for it because, you know, so I was 23 stone.
Yep.
What was it, 7-8 weeks ago, and then I wobbled 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to go back onto it now and see if I can get a clear 8-week run here, as you have suggested.
Absolutely.
One of my team wants to speak to you behind the scenes here, just very, very quickly. I'd love to see the book, Michael. What's the book called?
It's called The 8-Week Blood Sugar Diet.
Okay.
Or you just look at bloodsugardiet.com, and there's a very helpful forum there, which gives you all the medical advice you might ever need.
Lovely to talk to you, sir. Stay there one second. The team talk to you here and we'll be in touch. Thanks a lot. Michael Mosley, Dr. Michael Mosley. Wasn't that really, really interesting?